Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the Radio Show. Hell No, the Radio Show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's empowered, focused, and empowered on empowering the truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program, however, is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. Go ahead and write down this telephone number and call me and Terry to share your thoughts on our discussion-stirring topics on tonight's episode. Telephone number is area code 718-508-9419. When you're prompted, dial option number 1 to speak up. Again, that number is 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take your calls in order we receive them, so please sit tight. Of course, we can receive email at any time at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. Also, find our shows on demand. You can play them anytime by clicking the play button on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Partial support for Hell No, the Radio Show comes from our sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Wally's Discount Rest Home, the extra care at no extra cost. Aunt Lucille trying to trap buffalo in the bathtub, Granny falling asleep in her cream of wheat. Bring them into Wally's for the extra care at no extra cost. How was that?
All right. That's why we make the big bucks. Right? Right, Terry?
Onward and upward.
Can we start with a roadkill story? I've got a good story.
Okay.
It's not really a concern for animals story. Passing personages. And then I have a passing personages for tonight. I'm going to lead this off, but I'm going to start my story. I came home the other couple days ago, driving into my neighborhood, and it's kind of one of those little country road with the trees overhanging and all that. And I see a car stopped in the middle of the road, and there's a girl sitting in the car, and it what looked like a Furby. Remember those things, the Furbies? Sitting in the middle of the road, and I pull up around. I thought, what in the hell's going on? And as I pull up, she opens her window, rolls her window down. First thing she says, I didn't do it. I didn't hit it. I look, and I'm like, it's a damn possum. Thing is hunched over. It must have got its foot run over, and it's bleeding out and not having a good time. And so she says to me, she says, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we'll let nature take care of this. And, the buzzards and vultures, they do their part. They'll come along, let God take care of this. Just drive around it. And she gave me this look like, oh, my goodness. I don't know what she thought we were going to call 911 and send this thing to rehab. And, I have no idea. But I was thinking I should have gone back and asked her, hey, do you want to take it home and eat it? I could go put it in a sack and you can bring it home. Your mom will know what to do with it. But she took off, so. Anyways, as my to all the possums crossing the road, it's that season, so they're out there. Anyways, our passing person is for tonight.
That's cool. You know that we don't have portage stories like that on our show. We are the model of decorum, e pluribus union, and a few other things. Continue.
Absolutely, this is an important topic. Our passing personage for tonight.
You're not
going to
talk about that personal itch anymore, are you?
No, we're moving on to important stuff. All right, this is our first celebrity departure of 2017. It's Milt Schmidt, who is died today, January 4th, age 98 years old. I want to know what he did to keep himself healthy. He was a hockey player for the Boston Bruins. It was a Hall of Famer. He was a Canadian professional ice hockey guy, and again, manager of the Boston Bruins in the NHL, and very notable guy in the Hall of Fame there, Milt Schmidt. I don't personally know much about him, but he had an impressive career. He lived to a good old 98 years old. Didn't say what he died of. I imagine it might have been, you know, he might have been skydiving or rappelling off a building or
show.
Something really wild or crazy or listen to our show. Well, you know, we provide a good service, and if it, you know, wherever he is now, Milt, keep knocking those goals in. So, moving on from that
another puck for you.
Another puck for you. Okay, Terry, tell us about your love for the airline industry and how enjoyable figuring out what you're paying, deducting. I'm sure you deduct your travel expenses. Must need a team of accountants with your airline industry problems. Lay it on us.
Well, I was just going to touch on one little subject tonight, and that is the damn airlines are trying to charge you for absolutely everything they can possibly think of. I mean, pretty soon there's going to be a toll charge to go up to the bathroom and then an extra 25 cents to open the door. It's incredible. And you have all these airlines telling you what great airlines they are. And, you know, they turn around and say, well, you can't take that on board unless you pay us $45. Then it's fine. And they say, well, you know, check a bag? What do you mean check a bag? That's $55. And then they say, what do you mean you have a problem sitting in this seat? You're too tall for the seat? Too damn bad. Well, yes, we have other seats available. Those are $55 extra if you want to sit in the exit row. How about a can of Coke? Oh, you know, $4.50. Peanuts? Yeah, we have peanuts. They're $2.
Oh, we have Wi-Fi too.
Oh my God. It's just unbelievable what they are adding on. One after another, after another, after another. And then when we're having some of these sales, if you can unsnarl the conditions for those sales, it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. United is now at the point where you can't bring anything on board, not even one personal item. Ladies, don't even bother with your purses because it's going to cost you $35.
Are you kidding me? On United?
No, I'm not kidding you. On United.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, they've never been my favorite airline, say the least, but they have just hit a new low. You know, this is the kind of crap you expect from Air Moscow or something. It's just amazing.
The thing that I've noticed is a bit perplexing is, and by the way, before I talk about this, I want to harken back to the good old days where you'd bring out your phone book and, you know, flip to the travel agency page, call that lady up that you know, and here's where I want to go, and they take care of all of it, and you go in and they give you your tickets. And when you have your tickets in that little envelope, I mean, you are like going somewhere. It's a good thing. Always a very exciting. Did great job with those AAA triptychs too. God bless all those people. I don't know where they probably work in internet marketing now or something. But anyway, what I find perplexing is just buying the damn tickets. And whether you go to Orbitz, I've used that. I've gone on Google Flights. I've gone sometimes directly to the airlines themselves. So, you know, booking flights for my mother, going to like American. Yeah, you go to American, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but all of these third-party vendors and have their websites, you know, you have to be really careful clicking through to get to the checkout. I mean, you got to click through probably 11 different screens, and you have to click all those things to opt out of the travel insurance. And, you know, for a flight from, you know, A to B in the U.S., I don't know, what's the point of the travel insurance? I've never purchased it. I don't know anyone who's ever purchased it. I don't know the value of it, but I feel the pain just in going through the rigmarole just to, you know, buy the damn tickets these days. And again, I think that I've had better experiences going directly to the airline I know has the flights going where I need to go. Sometimes they have the better deals. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on any of the airlines that you think are the least the least offenders?
Most offensive airlines.
Least offensive airlines.
Yeah.
That would be a good. You should start a new company. Least offensive airlines. Fly our least offensive skies.
What's really strange these days is that for the most part, you don't have any good airlines anymore. And almost all of the top-notch airlines are from overseas. Now, if you want to fly Lufthansa, you're going to get treated right. You fly Philippine Air, you're going to get treated amazingly. The airline for United Arab Emirates, just superb. I mean, incredible service. And what do we have? Well, let's see. We have JetBlue, and we have Frontier. You know,
is JetBlue a discount brand? Is that JetBlue?
Oh,
is like,
God,
like
are
a
they
discount
a discount
one?
Brand? Didn't you hear what I just said? School bus of the skies.
Right.
That's exactly what we're dealing with here. And, you know, the next thing they're going to have is wooden benches that you get handcuffed to instead of seat belts. They'll line you up on the sides of the plane, put cargo in the middle and say, bye-bye. It's pretty much amazing. It really is.
I've heard a lot of people complain about Delta. I've had good experiences with American. Frontier, I've flown Frontier once, I think, and it was okay. But, you know, these companies also seem to come and go. Like, remember AirTran? That probably is gone now, or some of these
AirTran
other
was a good airline, actually, but that got bought out by what now is Southwest. And I'll tell you, that's one of my least favorite airlines, is Southwest. That's a dog of an airline. The last thing in the world that I want when I'm tired, unhappy, and getting strung along through an airport is having to fight for a seat. That's just ridiculous. General admission on an airliner? Are you kidding me?
Wait, which one is that? I've never even heard of that.
Southwest.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
You stand in a line, and, you know, once you get in there, it's free-for-all. And, of course, the people who pay the extra bucks to get to the front of the line, just like a bad nightclub, well, they get the good seats. Terry, and hell no, we don't need any more restrictions on the airlines. We don't need them to get any more crap that we have to pay for. Just, you know, give us a reasonable service and send us on our way.
I remember, too, when flying, man, people would dress up and, you know, like we were flying somewhere, like, yeah, you put, like, good, like, church clothes on, you know, put it late, you know, men with suits and ladies all dressed up and, you know, you had your nice luggage. Now it kind of feels more like when you picture, like, a bus, like one of those red, old, rusty 1950s buses driving through, you know, some back roads in India with, like, a llama sticking their head out the window and, you know, stuff piled on top of it halfway to the moon. That's what it feels like, you know, recently when I've flown.
Which part of India were you getting your llama from, Nick?
Yeah, I don't, you know, the kind with the most llamas, the best ones. You got to go to the stock shows. They have great stock shows. You can get all the whatever you need.
Yeah.
Camels, too. Miniature donkeys and horses. I mean, they have all sorts of. India's got everything, man. They've got everything now. Well, even
somebody
the Starbucks.
Put something in your eggnog, buddy.
You know, no, the allergies have blown away. Actually, new ones are here. And just, you know, you just kind of roll with it. Apple cider vinegar with the mother and a honey in your smoothie, and you're good to go. So, you know, instead of the airlines, how about driving places? You know, could it – if you really like to drive, you can drive a lot of these places too.
Yeah.
You know, it almost would be quicker with how long you have to wait sometimes. Let's see. We have a caller. Let's see if this is a travel agent. This might be a travel agent here to help us whose phone number ends in 6838. Solve our airline problems.
Welcome to purgatory.
Thank you. I have enjoyed it often. This is really just one of those creative thoughts based on some previous radio shows. We've talked about drones, and I guess my thought was particularly in small commuter flights, and then, you know, we're talking about different types of travel. If it's not illegal for anyone to own a drone, seems to me it'd be pretty easy to make your own personal flying device.
I saw something.
I think that's called a cannon.
No. There's this. She's on to something here. And I saw something.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
It was about ambulance drones and this concept of having these. And it looked like the same drone that you have now, but that had like a, you know, part where you'd ride in it. And then when it landed, the wings or whatever you want to call them would fold in an upward manner and, you know, to save space. And, I mean, it looked like something out of a sci-fi movie, but, you know, they're talking about, like care flight copters and what, like, I guess you send a drone. I'm assuming that there'd be someone in it to, you know, help the person up onto the thing and all. But, you know,
well,
I just wonder
it's
how.
It's not a drone.
But, I mean,
it seems to me, you know, if you can own a drone and if, you know, whether you're looking at some kind of ultralight or just looking at a harness, seems to me you could easily invent your own personal flying device.
Nick would really like
that
if somebody put him in a harness. We would have had such a good time tonight.
You know, you might get away with taking one of those hot air balloon baskets. And then you might, I mean, I don't know how much the lift power of those things are, but maybe a whole bunch of drones and, you know, simultaneously run them with one remote and off you go. Make history.
There you go.
I really think Nick has gotten something in his eggnog. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, actually, this is.
Either that or his aluminum hat fell apart.
Terry, this is called synergistic creativity here. Okay, you know, now we've gone from.
Don't you use
that
term
person,
with me, young lady.
Yeah, now we've gone from a single person flying object to a mass transit flying object just using existing resources. Great idea, Nick.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, when we're. I've sort of given up on my technology fears because I can't stop the technology, and I flip out every time I see something about self-driving cars, and I just imagine, you know, always, I mean, I want to just like hide out from the world a little bit, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, like a Prius fly overhead one day as I'm out, you know, taking care of cows or something. I mean, it's just something I'm ready for. I said, let's go. Strap me up. What about jetpacks? I want a jetpack. I'll fly wherever I need to go.
Here's the hint. If that balloon says Acme on the side of it, pass. Just pass.
Watch
Road
for handbill.
Runner, the coyote's after you. Okay.
Watch out for the anvils. Well, you know what? Here's a problem,
like
though, with
anvils.
All these flying machines. These flying machines, though, we're not going to be able to fix them. I mean, as is, you know, try to do basic vehicle repairs on a lot. I had to take my truck in for inspection to go get my registration renewed, and there was a lady in there talking about changing her headlight and how difficult it was and whatever make and model vehicle she had. But they were talking about some of the new cars today, actually, you have to remove the bumper to get into the headlight assembly to change the lights. And I thought the guy was, like, kidding. I'm like, you're pulling this woman's leg. It's not true. He's like, no, you really.
One
he's
thing,
like, some of them, you could take the bumper off.
One thing many mechanics will tell you is that it is a very good resource to have a friend who is a mechanic with very small hands. Because of exactly what you're talking about having to remove your average man your average mechanic.
Don't hurt his feelings now. Don't hurt Nick's feelings.
Your average mechanic.
I don't want him weeping.
Perhaps could not in any way get into that housing, but a smaller person can wiggle around and get into the housing, and from a labor cost. You have significantly reduced labor costs.
Huh. there's a career opportunity to niche for people with small hands.
For
didn't
the
Donald Trump, wasn't this, didn't they say Donald Trump had really small hands? Call Donald Trump to help change your headlight. There you go.
Now, Terry, that is a true statement, is it not?
What, the munchkins?
No, but that there is a significant value in having a friend with small hands when it comes to doing car housing assembly work.
I've ever had a friend. It's a very long story, but, you know, I could never quite afford the kind of friends that Nick has.
I train raccoons. Raccoons have small hands. They help great.
Nick, where are you purchasing your friends? Are you having good success with that?
Generally, the trade day markets, you know, first Monday trade days out in Canton.
The dollar store. Don't lie. The dollar store.
Man, I tell you what, send me a link.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Oh, send her two links.
I'm always happy to help.
Have a sandwich.
All right. Well, other than that, Terry, what other basic vehicle knowledge did you want to bestow on us tonight? Because when we were talking earlier, you complained, well, maybe complimented or complained more, just generally a state of malaise over the lack or inability of both young men and women these days not knowing much other than start the car and put it in drive and go, if you even can put it in drive anymore. Basic vehicle knowledge.
This is going to require me becoming serious for a bit here.
Ruh-ruh.
So hold my hand and help me through it, okay? It is a tragedy that both men and women are not being trained in basic car maintenance, basic car safety, and basic car repair. I'm talking about taking your transmission out and rebuilding it. I'm talking about the stuff that you got to do. Okay, regularly, and little things that you can fix yourself in the car. Although, as you were rightly pointing out, the fact that you have to pull a bumper to get a headlight out is just nuts. That these things are being designed purposely with a capital P, purposely. Ladies and gentlemen, the car companies are screwing you. They are creating monsters that cost enormous amounts of money to repair. The parts and the labor and the fact that something that should take you, you know, 3 minutes and a screwdriver now requires three chests of Snap-on specialty tools, other tools from the manufacturer, a special course in the headlight trunnions in your XYZ, Saturn, Orion, Ford F-150, etc. It's awful. But with that said, let's go through some basics here. Everyone should know what type of oil their car takes. Everyone should know how to change the oil in their car and how to change the filter in the car. How often do you change the oil? Well, you consult the owner's manual. But the one thing I'll tell you is if it tells you something like 7,000 to 10,000 miles, don't believe them. Most cars, you change it at about 3,500 miles. If you've got pure synthetic oil, you can go as much as 5,000 to 6,000 miles with a smaller car that doesn't require a whole lot of pounding around. How to check your transmission fluid, although nowadays very few cars have a transmission stick to get at. Many of them are actually mounted above the transmission under a screwed-in cap where only the people with the little, not just little hands, but little arms can get up to reach them. And they're damn near impossible to pull out and read, even when you have the car up off the ground. But if you have the luxury of having a transmission stick, something to check the fluid with, most vehicles, how are you supposed to check them, Nick?
With a transmission fluid?
Yeah, it's a nice boy. He just doesn't pay attention sometimes.
You
anyhow.
First have to, you. I mean, you check it like
yeah.
you check the oil, but you
no,
want the car
exactly.
to be, you want it to be
you
hot,
gotta
you
have
want it to
the
be
car
running, right?
In park, got to have the car in park. The engine should be running. And check it twice at least. If the oil looks dirty, it should be a very bright reddish pinkish color. If the oil appears dirty or it smells like burnt toast, and I'm being serious about that, time to get that baby in there quick, because the transmission may be trying to tell you that it's on its last leg, or gear as the case may be. Well, there aren't really gears in those transmissions, they're hydraulic and a few springs. But learn how to do that. Learn how to check your brake fluid and add it. Learn how to check your power steering fluid and add that. Learn what types of brake fluid you can use in your car and what types of power steering fluid you can use in your car. Learn how to check the coolant. Very, very few cars today go and pop the cap off the radiator. Nowadays, you look at the coolant overflow jug, which is sometimes near the radiator, sometimes not, but that's the only place that you should be opening and pouring coolant. If you open the radiator, you risk getting your eyes burned out of you and scalded all over.
Not fun.
Yes, it can be that dangerous. But learn how to do that. Pay attention. There is always a line on the side of that reclamation jug for the cooling system. Now, what do you put in for antifreeze? Well, consult your owner's manual again. Some of them require Dexcool, which is the orange stuff. Some of them require the standard antifreeze, which is greenish blue. And some of them require specialty antifreeze. Some of the Japanese cars are special antifreeze. And when you put the antifreeze in your car, please make sure it's a 50-50 mix with water. Pouring pure antifreeze in the car, no bueno. Because what you're going to do is you're taking away the ability of that antifreeze to work and be a coolant as well as an antifreeze. Pure antifreeze does not cool things off very well. So it's got to be 50-50 with water, and only, repeat, only use distilled water. It's the only thing to use. Check your tire pressure. Get a good gauge, a good quality one. That doesn't mean it has to be digital. I don't like the damn digital things. There are perfectly good tire gauges out there. Learn how to check your air in all of your tires. And wonder of wonders, if you look at the driver's side door or the panel closes against, it will tell you how many pounds of pressure to put in your tires. And it's often different front and rear. Depends on the manufacturer. However, when you put air in, when should you do it, Nick?
You should check your air often.
Once
a month, you know.
Not,
I always do it once a month or when the temperature changes or when the tire blows.
I asked how. Okay, let's go through this. The tires should be cold. However, cold doesn't mean you go outside and pop the gauge on. Cold means drive for about a mile, loosen up the fabric of the tire, then check it. Don't have your car sitting in the hot sun and then check it, because the pressure is going to be much higher. So try to make sure that the tire is cold. They'll have something called cold PSI, pounds per square inch. And that's what you're looking for. Drive the car for about a mile and jump out there and check your air. It's not that difficult. Check your wipers. Most people have a hell of a time putting wipers on, and that's because they've made them about as confusing as a Rubik's Cube. Trying to get the new wiper blades on the old arms is really a treat. Don't despair. Usually the automotive places will put them on for you for free. If you have to do it yourself, look carefully at the little drawings and then look carefully at all the little pieces that they give you, because they give you various adapters for different types of cars. But I will admit they purposely confuse you with those babies. How about your battery? What do you do? Oh, but there's a, it's a maintenance-free battery. Rubbish. Ain't no thing. Maintenance-free batteries are a myth. What it means is that you can't do anything about the battery. It's going to die one of these days, far sooner than you'd like it to, and you can't get it open. Most of the batteries, you can still open them up, even though they don't have the little screw-on caps like you used to years ago. Once again, use only distilled water. If you use any other kind of water other than distilled, you will ruin your battery. You use tap water, well water, anything else, you will ruin your battery. There is a sulfuric acid solution in that battery. And if you throw water that has minerals in it, it will neutralize the sulfuric acid and ruin your battery. Most water has minerals in it. Don't use it. Make sure it's distilled water. Bring the water level up to the little ring at the bottom of the neck. When you're looking down in the battery, use a flashlight, and the neck of each hole has a ring at it, and bring your level up to that ring. You should check the battery about twice a year. The heat really will dictate how much water you're going to have to use, because heat evaporates the water out of the battery. The next thing is battery terminals. Keep them clean, and then put some Vaseline on them. If you're savvy enough to take the terminals off and clean it with some emery cloth or a wire brush, then when you put them back on, tighten them up, put a little coating of Vaseline all over it. Or better yet, dielectric grease. Get that in any automotive store. Oh, I could go on, but I'm going way past our music time. You know, it's still the holiday season, and we promised you something and didn't deliver last time around. Thanks to a certain maestro whose name I will not bring up for fear of terminal embarrassment here.
It can be the one. So
but we're
Terry,
going to.
Terry.
Yes, dear.
Terry, can I say one thing that
no.
my dad taught me?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to anyhow.
I knew it.
A very important thing. And before you get in your car every day, walk around your car. And that way you're looking, you know, again, the tires, if there's something wrong, make sure you walk around your car before you get in.
Well, that's always good advice, because that's what you do with an airplane also. You
mm-hmm.
walk the entire airplane. You feel the edges of the wings, make sure there are any nicks, dings, what have you. But that is, of course, very good advice.
You know why also, too, if you notice that you have a low tire, because I did that. That happened to me one time where one of my rear tires in my pickup was low. It was flat, and I didn't realize it. And I could have saved the tire if I hadn't driven halfway down the road and then realized, oh, I just ruined my tire. It was
Absolutely.
Flat.
Absolutely.
Broke down all the supplies of it. Anyhow.
Right.
Or
there's
say,
someone sleeping in the bed of the truck. You got to check there, make sure there's no one there. You know, there's no animals. Very
can
smart.
Can you talk about music?
Sure.
Great. Yeah.
I don't like. God. Children.
Are you suggesting that you're the parent?
Oh, Lord. Bless the weenie tots.
Speak now.
Oh, thank you. I feel so empowered. What is wrong with you two tonight?
Intro to the song.
Good Lord. We promised them a song by Bob Rivers, who does some remarkably good satire, fun songs. And this is off of an album called Twisted Christmas. And the name of the song is The Restroom Door Said Gentlemen.
The restroom door said gentlemen, so I just walked inside. I took two steps and realized I've been taken for a ride. I heard high voices, turned and found the place was occupied by two nuns, three old ladies, and a nurse. What could be worse than two nuns, three old ladies, and a nurse? The restroom door said, gentlemen, it must have been a gag. As soon as I walked in there, I ran into some old hag. She sprayed me with a can of mace and smacked me with her bag. I could tell this just wouldn't be my day.
what can I say? It just wasn't turning out to be my day. The restroom door said, gentlemen, and I would like to find the crummy little freak who had the nerve to switch the sign. 'Cause I've got two black eyes and one high heel up my behind. Now I can't sit with comfort and joy. Boy, oh boy, no, I'll never sit with comfort and joy.
Thank you, Maestro. That was a stirring carol.
Well, now.
Wasn't that a great a cappella?
Really, that was impressive.
Yeah.
Quite a little tune there.
It absolutely was. Caller, what do you think? Was that or was that not some great a cappella talent? Caller?
Yes. I said yes.
Take off the copper wires. Don't worry,
take
the aliens won't get you tonight.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, we can hear you now. Yep.
Okay. See, those wires are on for a special reason. Talk about my wires. Don't get into my HIPAA rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It protects her from chupacabras.
Yeah, no doubt that's what it will do. I stay up nights worrying about them, you know that? Especially the little chupacabras that are too small to suck the blood out of a goat.
Back
what's happening
to the
there?
It was a great song. That is my kind of humor, is to switch a sign or do something like that and just kind of see what happens. Yes,
I'd get someone killed, didn't I, today?
Well, yeah, you would, but, you know, around here you could still get away with it.
Yeah, right. You could probably get away with that around here, too.
Yeah.
Around here, we're happy if people can read the signs.
If they can.
And, you know, I was thinking, you know, gentlemen, you probably don't.
Oh, there you go again, bragging.
Yeah, well, I there's so often, as a woman, you have to pee. And the women's restroom line is 1/8 of the men's restroom. And so.
Are we doing the show tonight?
I'm going in the men's restroom. Okay, so far I've not had a man kick me out.
No, I mean, and there are several states that there are
no living
that
way.
Options. Right, I mean, especially if you're at a ball game or something like that. Although there's some
exactly.
of them you have the big trough. I mean, I don't know how skilled you are at using the trough. I mean, that may be a whole different. You might actually become an internet sensation and get rich.
I'm not a trough user. Now, Terry, no. is that something that you often engage in? Is trough utilization?
At major sporting games, sometimes, yeah. You go to one of those old bar parks, you pee in a trough. I mean, it's State Fair, Texas, same thing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, men are treated like cattle. We are oppressed.
I would just belly go outside and find a tree before I went to the trough. Tree over trough.
Lots of options. So many options. Who knew it would become so difficult to find out how to use a bathroom in 2016? I'm hoping in 2017 that we will all find a way to use the bathroom effectively. And you know, if there are no greater accomplishments, I mean, you know. We put people on the moon. We've done that. We've, you know, put cars. We've got flying drones. As soon as Amazon and a pizza will come by a drone, we can find out how to go to the bathroom. 2017 is all just a great year. Now, in efforts to make it such a great year, we've already had some interesting fireworks coming out of all of our dear friends in Congress and some of our new friends who are trying to get rid of some of our old friends. Because some of our old friends just don't play that nice with others. And they do things like trying to remove the Independent Ethics Committee. These are our friends, the House Republicans. Some are more friendly than others. Some have been there a long time and more resemble the grumpy cat. And, you know,
so
they
kind.
Wanted to gut this. they wanted to gut the ethics committee, and the ethics committee, which, by the way, would be investigating some of these folks, and it's all in furtherance of this whole, well, Donald Trump's talked about drain the swamp, and this drain the swamp mantra has gone on with all these folks, and a lot of people are way into it, and anyways, in getting rid of a watchdog group, such as the ethics committee, it got everybody's panties in a proverbial twist, including Mr. Trump, and he tweeted some, you know, his negative response to it. Actually, what he said was, quote, "With all that Congress has to work on, do they really need to make the weakening of the independent ethics watchdog as unfair as it is?" He agrees. Maybe their number one act and priority. He doesn't agree with that. He says, focus on tax reform, health care, and so many other things of far greater importance, Trump said over two tweets. So a lot of people are sort of liking that. I think we're going to see some loggerheads in the upcoming administration, which would give my liberal friends some real exciting things to look forward to, because they think that literally, like, all the Republicans are lined up like Satan's army to, like, do carry out all these incredibly bizarre things. But in all reality, there's disagreement, you know, even among such a cohesive group like our Republican Party, of which I'm an elected member and always enjoy the fireworks. I always bring popcorn to an event. Sometimes one of those chairs, you know, if there's not good seating, because, you know, these things are oversold. To bring your own chair, you know, some, you know, weapons, some sometimes some battle gear and shields are good, especially at state convention. I wish that I had had some armor, but that's a whole other story of things that happen in Dallas.
Bring bananas
are good. You know that at the I mean, there's people don't realize, at the state convention, Republican convention here for Texas this year in Dallas, there were people with, I never saw more guns and holsters walking around Texas my entire life other than convention. I mean, it's like one of these open carry deals. They're also trying to push constitutional carry now, so no license or anything, which, you know, I tend to think is interesting concept. I'll just leave it at that. But there were a lot – you get a real spectrum of folks at some of these big conventions. I think that anyone who has an opportunity – even if you're not a career politician or just someone who wants to be a delegate or interested, pay attention to what's going on in your community, you might just have a chance to go to something like that. That's all.
Boy, I'll tell you, the excitement never ends. Maybe next week after that, we go to a supermarket opening.
Damn. Woohoo! Make sure it's a Winco. Uh-huh. You ever been to Winco? I love Winco. It's a great place.
Best supermarket in my little repertoire is a... well, it's the largest supermarket in the world. So that's
hey,
where
you know
I
what?
Go.
You mean
that's
the woods?
If I have time.
The woods? The woods. The woods is the largest supermarket in the world.
Woodman's.
Oh, Woodman's. I meant the woods, like literally out in the woods. But, Terry, I actually have a question. The debate came up, and caller, you may know something about this too. I got completely reamed by someone who dislikes my failure to buy organic vegetables, things like bananas, apples, and things. And she's saying, well, you know, everything's sprayed with pesticides, you're going to die, bad, bad, bad. So I said, all right, well, you know, I can try to get this organic stuff, but oftentimes it's really pricey. And other people said some of the things like organic bananas are grown indoors with artificial lights. They're kept away from pesticides and they're organic, but they're not grown outside in the sun. You know, and, so, and then there's other people talking about, even though things can be labeled organic, that doesn't necessarily mean they are safe and absolutely organic and free of things. And, you know, it just reminds me of a story I heard about before 1985. There was no thought of science affecting our food supplies and all this. And I'm just wondering how much of this organic stuff is hype. I don't know, Terry, what do? Do you buy the organic bananas, or do you spend the extra 10 cents a pound and get the organic ones?
I honestly
extra $10. There's a lot more money than that.
Hey, I thought that was my question.
Yeah, they are. At Kroger,
now
it's like 60 cents or 48 cents.
Well, I think that I would opt for the orgasmic variety, because it's always a lot more fun.
You know, that's in Florida. We don't live in Florida.
Well, that would be Gary, but that wasn't the answer.
Am I going to get a demerit?
The bananas
for that
are
now?
Used for smoothies, Terry. Ketchup.
Ketchup smoothies?
Okay.
That doesn't sound good.
I'm different than Terry. I'm going to be a realistic person
I hope
here.
So.
Okay. Now, there's some point you have to look at financially. You know, where are you in life? What is your income? You have to balance that with what your food budget is, and you have to be realistic. Some things I think you certainly are better off with an organic product. Other things, they don't really bother me. And so anyhow, that's my 2 cents.
I think with the poultry and dairy,
I'm
going to
answer your question for you.
Go for it.
The answer is not an easy one. The answer is relatively complex. Certain fruits and vegetables require far more pesticides than others. Some of the pesticides can get washed away by the rain and the weather. Some of them not so easily. Some of the pesticides that they use will rot your liver, kill you, destroy your spine, cause cancer, and other minor maladies. Some of the pesticides will make you not feel good. The organic produce, on the whole, is going to be better for you. You won't get pesticide. There is another specter here looming above us when it comes to the organic stuff. The organic produce that's grown in other countries, sometimes they use human urine and fecal material for fertilizer. The problem with that is that it could get onto the fruit or vegetable, and you could end up with things like salmonella. You could end up with bad E. coli infections and, you know, little bits and pieces like that, all the way down to certain types of parasites. So it's a mixed bag all the way around. I do advocate washing all of your fruits and vegetables before you eat them. There are those who would say, well, that doesn't do any good. It does some good. And if you use something, a Newcastle soap, to wash your apples and your, you know, your other fruits where you eat the skin, that would probably be a good idea. One of those wonderful vegetable-based soaps that you can use are non-toxic. They rinse off pretty well. They'll take most of the pesticide residue off of an item. And on the whole, probably cheaper than buying the orgasmic style. Oh, there I did it again. So,
well, speaking of fruit and kind of moving right along with the sense of humor, I have a question for Nick. Nick, being from the South, when you go to eat a peach in the summer, do you peel it or do you eat it with the fuzz on it?
I just eat it with the fuzz on it.
Well, there you go. Terry eats it with the fuzz on it. I've always grown.
I don't know. I
peach.
Think most people.
It depends if I'm outside. I think it depends. If I'm going to use a peach with something else that I'm making, as in a, you know, like with a, I don't know. If I'm making it with what I'm cooking, I'll cut it. So I guess I will kind of do both. But if the peach is pretty ripe, it's too difficult because it all kind of falls apart. So I just, you know, usually just eat it like a slob.
Now, do you wash that peel really good so that it's slick, or do you eat it when it's still, you know, kind of hairy?
Oh, yeah, it's still kind of hairy. I mean, I don't peel it really or anything.
We're
going to
get blown off the air.
I don't know. I just eat it, you know. I also grew up eating, like, leaves and bugs and, like, things outside. Like, I don't know. Like,
that's how he got nominated to the Republican Party, for God's sake.
I mean,
hey, that guy over there, he's eating worms and leaves and everything. Let's recruit him.
Hey, Nick, send
yeah,
me
I won't eat processed
leaves.
Food.
Send me some of those leaves.
He's snorting like an elephant. Make him a Republican.
My mama taught me, though, which berries not to eat. That the birds,
yeah,
you know, like, the poison berries.
She used to feed him the poisonous stuff all the time. He survived somehow. But he did learn from that experience.
I mean, we literally.
Try these,
I mean,
little Nick.
Right. It's like, and afterwards, I would go ride my bike with the Rusty's pedals, barefoot down to the lake, and you know, climb out on a tree branch, and the tree branch would break, as we're coming down, and there's. In a mud, I mean, it was, I don't know, like, I really must be just, like, blessed or lucky or something, or, yep, you know, I think that there's, you got to eat enough dirt in your life, like, the kids, I'll tell you who's sick, Terry, is the people who have lived over antiseptic lives, and everything is perfectly, I mean, you know, they're, like, never touch the handrails on an escalator, I mean, you got to touch some escalator handrails in life. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it that long. I bet that guy, that hockey player, lived 98 years old also, you know. It was out
you can't talk about those magical berries anymore until you get Terry to look at them. Yeah, those magical berries sound interesting.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be making
many,
them. I shouldn't be making ties with them.
Yep. Yeah, magical mystery berries. Now, our caller, on the other hand, stands the value of an immune system. Now, I have pictures of her. Yep, I have pictures of her in department stores where she has applied her tongue to those handrails. And not
there
just in one spot. She goes right to the end, you know, so it just keeps flapping and flapping and flapping. She knows when she's gone around once when the seam hits, you know, the place where it's fused together, so... And then you know you've had enough and you've gotten the full range of microbacteria that you need.
Well, you know, she would probably be a... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, please go ahead.
No, I didn't know if you had a rebuttal, but I was saying this might be a nice pivot to our conversation about having... nice, clean U.S. medical procedure or some dirty, dusty back alley procedures in Mexico or somewhere else. And all joking aside, it's probably not as dirty and dusty as it's depicted in the movies, but there's a lot of people I've talked to lately who are saying, $6,000 for my medical procedure here for my dental implant. I could go to Mexico and get it done for $2,500. And as a kicker, you're only guaranteed 18 months on your dental implant. And the guy said to my friend, he said, "Where'd you get this other one done?" She said, "25 years ago." He said, "That's a quality dental implant. You don't get that anymore these days. These new ones, they suck. You'll be back here for a new one in 18 months." And she said, "Well, $6,000 every 18 months. At least I'm going to go to Mexico and stay somewhere and have a nice vacation on top of it, because she got so screwed by medical insurance, and she's at the point where she's paying cash, and she's saying she gets a better deal. You tell them you're a cash pay, go to another country. India is another place. You take the money you save, you can buy suits in India, bring it all back here, and show people your slides of your vacation and your surgery and all, and you're good to go. I don't know. What do you think?"
Boy, Madras panties, huh? What a deal.
Options.
Well, you know, realistically, the problem that you have is quality control. But with some of the stuff that I see in this country these days, I don't know that you're any worse off.
I'm not kidding. I've heard stories of people malpractice stuff, people leaving surgical tools in places, this and that. I mean, the hospitals here in Texas are not the best. And you're really taking your chances. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories that...
Leaving the surgical tool in the patient.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. It was like not a tool necessarily,
so
but like a piece of metal.
It really is.
Something that wasn't supposed to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many, many of those, and I've got x-ray pictures of quite a few, actually. That's not that uncommon.
There's supposed to be somebody who is double checking.
Hospitals are dangerous places. I mean,
really
please
are.
Don't. They are dangerous places. In terms of where can you go in the United States that's pretty dangerous consistently, a hospital would be top on the list.
Yep.
They're very dangerous.
It would. Well, one last thing that we'll cover today, and that is something that we're probably going to have to cover on several shows in order to encompass everything we need to.
Bum, 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 bum.
Nick had suggested that we talk about quality as it relates to tools and tool supplies. And how do you tell if you're getting good quality? How do you know if what you're buying at Walmart is as good as what you're going to get at Napa Auto Parts or as good as you're going to get out of the Snap-on truck? Well, the sad part about some of it is that for hand tools, there hasn't been a great deal of testing available to the general public. The tests are out there, but rarely does anyone from the general public get to view those tests. Power tools, on the other hand, there's lots of testing that goes on. And all of the woodworking and metalworking magazines, metalworking magazines, of which there are two, woodworking magazines, of which there are many, many, they publish frequent tests where various brands go head-to-head and they set up criteria for them and so on and so forth. How do you tell what's good? How do you tell what's a waste of money? Are there brands that consistently outperform other brands? Yes, there are. And you're safe with many of the top brands of power tools, such as DeWalt, Hitachi. I'm going to put an asterisk by Milwaukee. They used to be the best tools out there in many respects. They sure have gone the road of Chinese questionable scrap metal at times.
China?
But really, what you have to watch out for with Milwaukee tools are the batteries. The batteries are really substandard. They don't last. They absolutely don't last. Milwaukee tools get very high ratings these days for power and other things, but their batteries do not last. And that's not just me speaking, contractors who have shelves of those things sitting somewhere in storage. The batteries don't last. Not surprisingly, the best batteries out there belong to Panasonic. Panasonic does make power tools, hand power tools. Drills,
you say
saws,
Hitachi
that sort
too.
Of thing.
You
Hitachi's
say Hitachi,
a
I
real
picture
good
the,
tool.
The clicker for the TV, you know?
No, Hitachi makes a really good tool. They're sort of a mid-level tool, good quality, tough, and the batteries last quite well, and they're good about standing behind the tools. You have a problem with
DeWalt,
the tool,
though, you think?
The Hitachi guy or gal will always err on the side of you. And if there's any question about what should be done, they'll replace it for you, fix it, whatever it is. I found Hitachi to be very accommodating that way. Milwaukee, on the other hand, I cannot tell you how many times I have gone after them about batteries that went bad. And ironically, only 2.5 weeks ago, I had to do it again with some of these V28 batteries that run $200 a piece. I had three of them just drop off the face of the earth, these lithium batteries. They just went dead, and they tried to give me all kinds of excuses. Well, you know, you didn't store this properly, and there's crack in this in the housing of one. So crack, the thing hasn't ever been used. It was charged once. So they open it up, and they've got a counter inside that tells you how many times it's been charged. And what do you know? Well, not then they're telling you, well, you didn't charge it often enough. Oh, God. You know, come on. Stop with the excuses. Porter Cable is always a good, solid brand. They've done some good things over the years. DeWalt, another one that I mentioned. And
right.
Metabo, which is a German company, they make some very fine power tools, primarily corded power tools, meaning you plug them in. With regard to stationary tools, that one gets a little bit more confusing. There are only
we'll
a
cover
few
that
companies
next week.
Yeah, there are only a few companies that really produce some top-notch stationary tools, and we'll talk about them another time because I think we're out of time.
We are out of time. Until then, y'all have a great rest of the week. Stay warm. Watch out for this stupid cold that's coming in. Make sure the water lines are good.
Don't let people rip you off.
And don't let people rip you off. And I like Harbor Freight and Tractor Supply for tools. Good places.
No.
That's all. See y'all later. Bye-bye.